Hello, and welcome to the Preview Spotlight on the Comic Book Cage podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, we'll be spotlighting items from the current month's previews catalog. This is Preview Spotlight number 107 for the September 2016 preview. Now, in this episode, like always, we'll be going over some of the items and previews that you might find interesting. Now, we've got an open submission policy for these episodes, and everyone is encouraged to send in clips each and every month, or as often as you can, about the items that you think other people might enjoy. This is a great way to kind of support the creators you love, the titles you love, the characters you love, the publishers you love, just by letting other people know about. Because there's thousands of items, literally thousands of items, in previews each and every month. It's easy for things to get lost in the shuffle. And to tell you how easy I find that for things to get lost in the shuffle, when I'm filling out my order form, I shop at DCBS, I use their Excel file. When I'm doing that, I usually have a text file open of, geez, I forgot to order that last month or the month before. I must have missed that somehow. And I'm like, hey, can you add this to my order? And I mean, you know, it's a pre-order business, so usually DCBS is able to get it, but there's no guarantee. This is why we're doing the preview spotlight, is let your retailer know what you want when they have to order it. That's the easiest way for them to make sure they have enough copies. Some publishers, it's easier to get more copies than others, you know, it depends. But, like I said, I pay attention, I do these episodes, I do the numbers, I do the spotlight, I do all this. I like to think I'm a reasonably informed comic book consumer, but there's just so much that's coming out, it's very easy for things, like I said, to get lost in the shuffle. So, our goal here is to help prevent that, help you find what you're looking for, and we need your help to do that. Again, open submission policy. Now, we're going to be starting at the beginning of previews, working our way to the back. Obviously, we're not going to go item by item, page by page, or even publisher by publisher. We're just going to hit the highlights. And again, you can help pick what those highlights are. What we're going to do from here on out is just listen to a bunch of clips. Hopefully, people will find stuff they either didn't know about and want to add to their order, or even they knew about, maybe they shouldn't get because it's not for them. We're hoping to maximize your enjoyment for your dollar out of this stuff, too. Our goal is to increase sales, but to also increase the right sales. It doesn't help for somebody to buy a comic if it's just not for them, because that means they could have spent that money on something they'd love, and that really benefits everybody. So with that, let's get going.
This is Dr. Mo with my first pick, Serenity, No Power in the Verse, number 2 from Dark Horse Comics. The second issue of this miniseries finds the crew of the Serenity in a race against time with the Alliance. If Mal and company cannot reach the Outer Rim first, their captured friend will not be rescued. Also, an uneasy partnership is struck, preparations are underway, and there is no room for any unknowns. I picked this title to plug because Serenity-related materials only come out every couple of years. I still fondly remember this property's short-lived Fox television series, Firefly. Though I wish Dark Horse would publish more Serenity-related materials, I can appreciate Joss Whedon and Dark Horse for waiting until they have the right story to tell. By sharing my enthusiasm for Serenity, I hope to remind Browncoats that Mal and the crew are still flying. Serenity, No Power in the Verse, number 2, can be found on page 46 of Previews. This book costs $3.99.
Hey guys, this is the Brawlinator again, and my first pick from this month's previews is in the Dark Horse section on page 51. It's Forbidden Brides of the Faceless Slaves of the Secret House of the Knight of Dread Desire by Neil Gaiman, returning to one of his darkly complicated short stories. Originally published in Gaiman's collection Fragile Things, Forbidden Brides, etc., etc., has been adapted by Shane Oakley into a stunning hardcover graphic novel. It's a celebrated send-up of gothic literature, beautifully adapted into a dark, brooding, and oddly comical graphic novel. The solicit tells us only this. Somewhere in the night, a raven caws, an author's pen scratches, and thunder claps. The author wants to write nonfiction. Stories about frail women in white nightgowns, mysterious bumps in the night, and the undead rising to collect old debts. But he keeps getting interrupted by the everyday annoyances of talking ravens, duels to the death, and his sinister butler. Do yourself a favor and check this out. It's only 48 pages, and it's a hardcover, so it's slightly thinner than his other recent short story graphic novel adaptation, How to Talk to Girls at Parties, but I suspect it will be another gem. You can read the solicit for yourself on page 51 of this month's previews.
This is Todd Cassell from Phoenix, Arizona, with my first pick for the month, and it is on page 51 in the Dark Horse section, and it is Forbidden Brides of the Faceless Slaves in the Secret House of the Night of Dread Desire, written by Neil Gaiman, art by Shane Oakley. What this is, well, I'll read you the blurb. A celebrated send-up of gothic literature, beautifully adapted into a dark, brooding, and oddly comical graphic novel. Somewhere in the night, a raven caws, an author's pen scratches, and thunder claps. The author wants to write nonfiction, stories about frail women in white nightgowns, mysterious bumps in the night, and the undead rising to collect old debts. But he keeps getting interrupted by the everyday annoyances of talking ravens, duels to the death, and his sinister butler. What I believe this is another Neil Gaiman short story or novella. I'm not 100% sure on this one. Lately, there have been adaptations of his short stories and novellas into single one-shots. This is likely the same for whatever reason. I've not heard this title before, and I love long titles. I also love Neil Gaiman, but I love long titles. Harlan Ellison is my favorite author. He loves long titles to his short stories. Beast that shouted love at the heart of the world. I have no mouth and I must scream. Something about ankle wedgies, Miss Moneypenny. I don't even remember the title. But I think what can be a better long title than Forbidden Brides of the Faceless Slaves in the Secret House of the Night of Dread Desire. Anyway, it's Neil Gaiman. It's one shot. It's $17.99 for 48 pages. And I think it will be worth my while and worth everyone else's while as well.
Hey everyone, it's Drew with a pick from Dark Horse on page 54. It is Black Hammer number 5 by Jeff Lemire, Dean Ormston, and Dave Stewart. Now, if you recall, back in Weekly Comic Spotlight 467, John and I reviewed the first issue, and I really, really liked it. I believe I gave it an A-. John, a little more lukewarm. So I've had a chance to read the second issue, and I think it's still very strong. So this is something I want to recommend. It's tough to probably jump in on issue 5, but it's not that tough. So I think you should give it a shot. It goes on sale November 16th. It's 32 pages. It's $3.99. And this has been a fun sci-fi superhero team trapped in another world. And, we're not sure exactly how this happened, but there's some interesting stuff happening to this team. So definitely check this out on page 54 in Dark Horse.
I'm Billy Hogan, host of the Superman Fan Podcast, and I go by Superman Fan on the forums. And my first pick in the September 2016 previews comes in the Dark Horse section on page 54 with Black Hammer number 5, Jeff Lemire, writer and variant cover artist, Dean Ormston, artist and cover artist, and Dave Stewart, colorist. On sale November 16th, 32 pages for $3.99. Of the exiled heroes, only Colonel Weird can leave the mysterious farm where they've spent the last 10 years. But the confusion of the Parazone may hamper their escape more than it helps. Now, I've always been a sucker for alternate versions of superheroes like Astro City and Invincible. I read the first issue of Black Hammer in my box from Discount Comic Book Service last month, and I really enjoyed it. And I just received the second issue from my latest shipment from Discount Comic Book Service, so I'm looking forward to reading the rest of this series. Back to you, John. Billy Hogan again. My second pick in the September previews comes in the Dark Horse section on page 60 with Usagi Yojimbo number 159. Stan Sakai, writer, story, and cover artist. On sale November 23rd, 24 pages for $3.99. During his travels, the rabbit Ronan comes across a little girl cowering behind a tree. At first, thinking she is alone, Usagi swiftly takes her under his protection after finding her father lying dead nearby. Unbeknownst to him, there are killers after her that will stop at nothing to obtain the information her father bestowed upon her prior to his death. New self-contained issue. Usagi Yojimbo and creator Stan Sakai really know how to do more in a single-issue story than other creators can with a six-issue storyline. I really enjoy this series each month. Back to you, John.
Hello, this is Ian Gowan, and I'm a fan of this podcast. And this month, I am looking forward to a trade paperback from Dark Horse Comics called The Shadow Glass. It's on page 67 of your September previews catalog. And it's written by, and the art is by, and the cover is by, Ali Fell. And this trade actually caught my eye because I read the first issue of the comic, but I didn't read any other issues because I wanted to pick it up and trade. Which I'm glad because it ended up being canceled, or the single issues were canceled after three issues, and the remaining three issues are being released digitally from Dark Horse, also through Comixology. I believe the sixth issue still has to be released. And this trade is about a young student to England's greatest occultist learns her real father is in league with the devil. When Rose finds out that the man she raised her isn't her father, she ignores his warnings about the terrible secrets of her own past and seeks answers from childhood teacher Dr. John Dee, the Queen's occult advisor. And this collects the Shadowglass issues number 1 through 6. Now, one note on this trade, the artwork is a painted style of artwork, which is a little non-traditional to more of the, you know, superhero style of line artwork that's colored. I believe this is digitally painted. So if you look at the cover, it gives you more of an indication of the interiors because luckily the cover artist and the interiors are the same. Now, the note on the writing, at least from the first issue, it is heavy on a lot of words, and its writing is a little rough. I think Ali is her first time writing comic, but I think that it's worth it for the artwork and the content. I do like this type of horror story. So, once again, this comic is called, or this trade is called, The Shadow Glass. It's going to go on sale January 4th, so this is a bit of an advance solicit. It's $19.99, or if it's from DCBS, it's 40% off, or $11.99 is $12, so it's about $2 an issue. Full color, 200 pages, and I really look forward to it. Thanks a lot, John.
This is Todd Cassell from Phoenix, Arizona, with my next pick, page 74 of the Dark Horse section, but it's not a comic book or graphic novel. It's a couple of glasses on a lunchbox. It's Milk and Cheese, Boxed Pint Glass Set, and Eltingville Club Lunchbox. Milk and Cheese, I don't laugh out loud that much. Yeah, I laugh out loud, but comic books don't make me laugh out loud much. But one that was always guaranteed to make me laugh out loud was Milk and Cheese. And it's not the type of comic that's for kids, far from it. And it's not the type of comic that could necessarily be for you if you don't exactly love animated milk and an animated cheese that runs around beating the heck out of anyone who ticks them off. You can tell just by the cover of these pint glasses, the back of them have the cute little milk and cheese with the big eyes and the smile, and you think they're innocent little cartoon characters. But on the front of one, you have milk with a broken bottle yelling coward as he races toward you, and cheese with a glass of beer yelling to mayhem. And The blurb is, Milk and Cheese, comic book characters created by Evan Dorkin, are nothing but trouble. Their comics follow an anthropomorphic, misanthropic carton of milk and wedge of cheese. The dairy products gone bad tend to drink copious quantities of gin and become embroiled in gratuitously violent situations. Glasses are California Proposition 65 compliant and not dishwasher or microwave safe. These guys just make me laugh out loud just looking at them. And Evan Dorkin is a great humorist. The lunchbox below, I won't go through the blurb because this is getting long, but Eltingville is a, the Eltingville Club is a club of comic book geeks, but the type of comic book geeks you don't want to meet and don't ever want to be. If you read any of these books, Milk and Cheese or Eltingville Club, I think he just ended Eltingville Club. He just did a concluding miniseries. But really, if you can take some of the real dark humor and yes, at times violence, it's hilarious. Evan Dorkin is one of the few comic creators that makes me laugh out loud all the time. I hope you guys enjoy it.
Hey guys, this is Michael with my first pick in the September previews for things coming out in November. It comes from DC Comics, page 78, their Young Animal imprint. This is Mother Panic number 1, written by Jody Hauser, art and cover by Tom Lee Edwards. Meet Violet Page, a celebutante with a bad attitude and temper to match, who no one suspects of having anything lying beneath the surface of her outrageous exploits. But Violet isn't just another bored iris in the upper echelons of Gotham City's elite. Motivated by her traumatic youth, Violet seeks to exact vengeance on her privileged peers as the terrifying new vigilante known only as Mother Panic. This is going to be another under their Young Animal imprint. This new one imprint starting up to kind of be kind of like a contender to Vertigo or a place in Vertigo. I'm not sure which, but a lot of new properties being released in the next couple of months. I'm really excited about the possibilities here. This series could potentially maybe cross over into the main DC universe. There is the bat signal on the cover, it looks like, and so maybe some possibilities there. It could be very cool. Don't know if Batman will be in this series, just on the peripheral or what, but another new series. Don't really know very much about the author or the artist, but definitely looking forward to checking this out. Once again, DCBS is offering a bundle package for all the Young Animal issues coming out, and I'm definitely going to be getting that and deciding which ones I like and don't like, but definitely a new original series, a new hero to follow, and definitely looking forward to check this out. It releases November 9th, and it's going to be 40 pages, and it's $3.99. This one is for mature readers, as much as the other Young Animal imprints are, so throw that in there, and looks like it's going to be another fun series. Check out. Thanks, guys.
Billy Hogan again. My third and fourth picks in the September previews comes in the DC Comics section on page 82 with Action Comics numbers 967 and 968. Written by Dan Jurgens, art by Tyler Kirkham, covers by Clay Mann, and variant covers by Gary Frank. Man of Steel Part 1. Lex Luthor is under attack, and only Superman can save him. When the world's most ingenious scientific mind took on the mantle of Metropolis' new Man of Steel, the world took notice, and so did the mysterious God Slayer. Man of Steel Part 2. Superman must find and protect his oldest, most conniving enemy. But are the God Slayer's actions justified? Will stopping Lex Luthor prevent catastrophe later? Plus, Lois' investigation of the human Clark Kent takes a startling turn. 967 on sale November 9th. Issue 968 on sale November 23rd. Each issue is 32 pages for $2.99. I'm really enjoying this new Rebirth Superman. It's kindled my enjoyment of the Superman titles more so than the New 52 Superman did after Grant Morrison's run on Action was finished. So, am enjoying reading Superman more so than in the last couple of years. Back to you, John.
Hey guys, this is Michael back with my second pick for the September previews for stuff releasing in November. It's for Batman number 10 and 11. They're dropping November 2nd and November 16th. It's, of course, shipping twice monthly. This is written by, both of them will be written by Tom King, art and covers by Mikhail Janin. I Am Suicide, Part 2 and Part 3. Not going to really take too much time with Solicit, just to say that this is going to be the second story arc in Tom King's run. It is, from what I can tell from the Solicit, it's going to be Batman forming his own Suicide Squad, which I think is a very cool idea, and I know something I'm pretty sure has not been done before. Maybe it has, not for certain, but it looks to be very, very fun. I'm really enjoying Tom King's run so far. I'm glad, so glad that he did not do a year one story to start it off. He just plunged you right into Gotham and introduced Gotham and Gotham Girl and that whole storyline. And now we're heading in a totally different direction, and I'm really looking forward to it. The cover looks awesome as usual. And when you got these two coming out, plus Batman Annual number one, looks like November is going to be the month of Batman for DC, so looking forward to reading both of these. Highly suggest you guys check it out. It's on page 88 in previews, and back to you, John.
Comics for Fun and Profit here. We're going to be on page 89 of your DC previews, and we're looking at Batman Annual number one. Drew, hold on tight. Here's the writers on Batman Annual number one. We have Tom King, right, Scott Snyder, Paul Dini, Steve Orlando, and Scott Wilson. We're going to have art by David Finch, Riley Rossmo, Neil Adams, nice, and others. Yes. So we got all kinds of people jumping on for this Batman Annual number one. It's 48 pages. It's $4.99. Comes out November 30th from DC Comics. It is titled Silent Night. And here's your solicit. A hush. See, I'm wondering there when they say a hush. I'm wondering. A hush of winter snowfall has fallen over Gotham City, but a quiet night in this place is never truly quiet. Batman and his allies and his many foes stalk the streets in this icy showcase of top talent.
You don't say. Oh, my goodness. That is a star-studded annual. A lot of good talent on here. Some of the greats. So I cannot wait to get my grubby paws on this one. Annuals are always pretty darn good. So and this looks to be stupendous.
Yeah, it looks like a great lineup. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be a cool little palette cleanser after you get, you know, Batman shipping twice monthly. And we're going to have all the way through 11 issues plus a rebirth issue. So we've gone through 12 in this. So Batman hitting real hard and real fast in this one. It's going to be nice to get a big, thick annual in here that does something a little bit different. And, man, they are packing it full of talent. So Comics for Fun and Profit, super excited for Batman Annual number one, page 89 of your DC previews.
Next up on page 102 is Nightwing number 9. Well, actually, it's 8 and 9, but I'm only talking about number 9 here. This is a single-issue story. We don't get enough of those. And it's Nightwing being attacked by Dr. Destiny in his dreams. And the only person who can save him is Superman. But after the whole bit with Rapture and the fact that, you know, Nightwing doesn't know this Superman, there's a trust issue here, and, well, is it going to get Nightwing killed or both of them killed? I'm going to vote no, because I doubt they're going to cancel both Nightwing and Superman. That would just be kind of a bad move. But nonetheless, we get to see the new Superman, but really it's the old Superman. Anyways, we get to see this Superman and Nightwing team up, interact. I'm really looking forward to it. They're two of my favorite characters. I want to see what kind of status quo they go into and what status quo they come out with. Should be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it. Once again, that's Nightwing number 9. It'll be on sale November 16th. It's a $2.99 comic. We've got a 50% discount through GCBS because it's comic book page pick of the month. I think you should check it out.
Billy Hogan again. My fifth and sixth picks in the September previews comes on page 106. Still in the DC Comics section, with Superman issues number 10 and 11. Written by Peter J. Tomasi and Patrick Gleason. Art and covers by Patrick Gleason and Mick Gray. Variant covers by Kenneth Rocafort. In the Name of the Father, Part 1. For the first time, the Man of Tomorrow and the Boy of Steel team up with the Cape Crusader and the Boy Wonder in a father-son adventure you won't want to miss. Damian Wayne has been hearing a lot about this mysterious new Superboy, and now's his chance to find out who he is. In the Name of the Father, Part 2. Superman and Batman are up against the ropes, and it's up to Superboy and Robin to save the day. But can they work together long enough to get the job done? Issue number 10 on sale November 2nd. Issue number 11 on sale November 16th. Each issue is 32 pages for $2.99. I've been looking forward to the Super Sons title that I think is now scheduled to begin next year. But I'm looking forward to this story where Damian Wayne and Jonathan Kent finally meet. And on the next page is an issue that I wasn't quite able to squeeze into my budget since I really blew it last month. So I've had to make some hard choices this time around. And that the title that I would really like to get but won't be able to is Superman Annual Number 1, written by Peter J. Tomasi and Patrick Gleason. Art and cover by Jorge Jimenez. Earth to Earth, Ashes to Ashes. Mr. Oz told Superman he was not what he thought. Now, Swamp Thing comes hunting for the Man of Steel to discover what strange connection this new Superman has to the planet. But their contact is something neither is prepared for, leading to Kal-El battling the Earth Elemental who wants to bury him. On sale November 30th, 48 pages for $4.99. I grew up in the classic era of the 1960s and 70s with the 80-page giants and Superman annuals, so I always love whenever DC publishes another annual, usually in the summer months. But this time I'm going to have to pass this up because there were some other things I wanted to get in this month's previews. But if you're a Superman fan, go ahead and check this story out. It really sounds interesting. Back to you, John.
Well, my next pick is right here on page 106. Also, it's Superman number 10, the first part of the In the Name of the Father storyline, where we again get the new Superboy and Robin teaming up. Actually, Robin's been around for a while. And I'm really looking forward to it because we haven't seen these two meet up yet. And it's just very evocative of the whole Super Sons storyline that went on, or various stories that went on in World's Finest back in the day. If you're curious about those, we did a back issue spotlight on those years ago with Cameron from DCBS. It's back issue spotlight number 7. If you go to the website, you can easily find it. There's a under podcast a menu link to get to the back issue spotlights. Those were just a ton of fun as far as stories go. I'm looking forward to not a modern take on that story because I think it'll be fundamentally different with these characters. But we've got a Superman and Batman that are still coming to terms with one another. And we've got, again, a new Superboy and comparatively a very experienced Robin that are going to have to come to term together. And I just think there's a fun dynamic to be had on both sides of this. I'm really looking forward to it. It is $2.99 a piece. We've got a 50% discount on that first part of the storyline through DCBS. I think you should check it out. I hope you enjoy it. So once again, that's Superman number 10 on page 106.
My seventh pick in the September previews comes in the DC Comics section on page 108 with Superwoman number 4, written by Phil Jimenez, art and cover by Emanuela Lupacino, pardon me if I mispronounce the name, and Ray McCarthy, variant cover by Ben Oliver. Who is Superwoman? Part 4. Superwoman's illness is getting worse, and so are the plans of Ultrawoman. With the might of the Bizarre's army and LexCorp technology at her fingertips, Ultrawoman is nearing victory, and Lex Luthor may be the first to fall. Meanwhile, Lana struggles to carry on the legacies of her fallen friends, and the ghosts of her past will come back to haunt her. On sale November 9th, 32 pages for $2.99. I just received the first issue of this series in my latest shipment from Discount Comic Book Service, so I can't wait to start reading this series. It sounds like it'll be an exciting story and a lot of fun. Back to you, John.
This is Dr. Moe. with my second pick for this month, Superwoman number 4 from DC Comics. I selected this title based on the strength of issue number 1. Number 1 was bursting at the seams with story content. Based on some somewhat spoilerific solicitation text for issue 4, I believe writer Phil Jimenez will continue to make 20 pages feel like 24 pages of story. The art for this issue is being handled by Emanuela Lupatillo and Ray McCarthy. Superwoman is one of those DC titles that will have a rotational art team. If you read issue number 1, the art was handled by the writer Phil Jimenez. Until I read Superwoman number 1, I didn't realize how much my pull list needed a Superwoman title. If you are looking for a title that embodies DC's core principles of legacy in the classic superhero mold, then try Superwoman. I strongly encourage people who are interested in this title but haven't read issue 1 to read issue number 1 first before looking at any solicitation text for future issues. I personally believe that the solicitation text for issues 2, 3, and 4 contain some mild spoilers. Superwoman number 4 from DC is $2.99 and can be found on page 108 of previews. Please note that this is a monthly title.
Brawlinator again, and my first pick from DC Comics is over on page 114. It's Catwoman Election Night, a one-shot coinciding with the U.S. presidential election, which sees Selina Kyle getting caught up in Gotham's very own elections. It's mayoral election time in Gotham City, and while the city is up in arms, Catwoman, like many comic readers these days, couldn't care less. But when the candidates get personal, the feline fatale decides to get involved, much to the detriment of, well, everyone. Another item that makes this comic noteworthy is that this also contains a special bonus story featuring the return of President Beth Ross from the critically acclaimed but canceled early Prez miniseries. So here's your chance to get that long-awaited and repeatedly promised Prez sequel. All you have to do is shell out $4.99 for a Catwoman one-shot. It's Catwoman Election Night. Check out the solicit for yourself over on page 114 of this month's previews and determine if it's worth it. Brawlinator again, and my next pick from DC Comics is found on page 122. It's a beloved 80s brand making a comeback, this time with an all-ages twist. From 1984 until 1987, the Kenner Superpowers toy line, which featured all the classic DC Comics heroes and villains, helped keep the DCU characters relevant in an era when Marvel was totally dominating comics. The Superpowers toy line was so popular that even the long-running Super Friends cartoon rebranded with the Superpowers logo and name for its final two series. Now DC is bringing the Superpowers name back with a new miniseries from Tiny Titans and Itty Bitty Hellboy creators Art Baltazar and Franco. It's Superpowers number 1 coming in November. The new mini looks to feature the same iconic DC heroes that made up the Superpowers line back in the day, but will be geared for a more all-ages audience. The solicit reads, "Oh yeah, the world's greatest heroes are back in an all-new, all-ages miniseries, except for Batman. Superman helps out by cleaning up in Gotham City, where he discovers a clue that sends Wonder Woman into space to find the Caped Crusader. Her journey brings her a step closer to Batman, but can she uncover the truth behind his disappearance?" Again, it's from the award-winning creative team of Art and Franco. It's Superpowers number 1, and this looks fun. You can check it out yourself on page 122. Two of this month's previews.
Billy Hogan again. My eighth pick in the September previews comes on page 125 from the DC Comics section with Future Quest number 7, written by Jeff Parker, art and cover by Evan Doc Shaner, and variant cover by Chris Burnham. Mysterious vortexes are appearing around the world. each unleashing a horrible threat. With Dr. Quest still missing and the leaders of the world beginning to doubt Internation, a new team of heroes must rise to defend California. The Impossibles. Meanwhile, fledgling hero Mitor begins his training with Birdman. On sale November 23rd, 32 pages for $3.99. I vaguely remember the Impossibles cartoon series from Saturday morning cartoons back in the 60s. I've read the first three issues, and I just received the fourth issue from the latest shipment from Discount Comic Book Service. I really enjoyed the integration of all the Hanna-Barbera superhero cartoon characters into the story. It's really a cosmic story and worthy of bringing all these heroes together, and it's a lot of fun and a nice trip back into memory lane with all these characters from Saturday mornings of long ago. Back to you, John.
Hi guys, it's Drew with a pick from DC. It is on page 126. It's Scooby Apocalypse number 7, written by Keith Giffen and J.M. DeMatteis, with art by Howard Porter. I was a little lukewarm on this first issue, and was thinking about really wasn't for me, but I kept reading, and it's grown on me. I like the new imaginings of the characters. I like the way that they've been interpreted. I like the overarching mystery that's going on that they're trying to solve. I think it could be better if they were solving mysteries along the way, you know, mysteries of the week leading up to the big major mystery. That'd be kind of cool. But it is an apocalypse, so it's probably tough to do that. And there's still a lot of good stuff in here. It's 32 pages. It's $3.99. Something that's a fun riff on characters that you know. Check it out. Scooby Apocalypse number 7 on page 126.
When the Batman Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles crossover happened, I was talking about how cool it would be to get a sequel, and, well, on page 154, we're getting exactly that, a sequel. Not the one I had imagined, with the different Robins teaming up with the Turtles, but this time we get Batman teaming up with the Turtles again, but the difference is, it's the animated versions of them. So this is crossing over the Batman animated series Batman with the current Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle Nickelodeon cartoon for this miniseries. I'm not familiar with the current Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle cartoon, but I am familiar with the Batman Adventures, and they did a really good job with the first crossover. I'm really looking forward to this. Hopefully, you know, we'll get different takes on the characters from different points, you know, in their careers. I mean, movie versions could be fun. Again, going back to the comic book versions, I'd like that too. So, this is published by IDW. It is part 1 of 6. It is a $3.99 comic. It is a comic book page pick of the month, so we got a 50% discount on it through DCBS. Check it out.
Aloha! This is Jason from Hawaii. My pick for this month's preview spotlight comes from the IDW section on page 162. It's Star Trek Volume 13, The Trade Paperback, written by Mike Johnson, art and cover by Tony Shasti. The solicit reads, all new stories set in the universe of the new Star Trek films. In Legacy of Spock, the Elder Spock joins the last survivors of Vulcan to search the galaxy for a new home. Then, in Altered Encounters, the 5-year mission continues for the Enterprise as Captain Kirk and the crew encounter themselves. Now, this collects issues 55 to 60. Now, from issues 55 to 58, it's the Legacy of Spock storyline. Now, that is a great story arc. And that story arc pays a great tribute to Leonard Nimoy. And now for issues 59 to 60, Altered Encounters, Mike Johnson and Tony Shasteen, you know, they really captured the spirit of the spirit, and they blend together the J.J. Abrams universe and the original crew together perfectly. So it's really great. So if you're a big Star Trek fan, you know, I strongly suggest that you pick up this trade paperback. It's a nice way for them to end this Star Trek series and to commemorate the Star Trek 50th anniversary. So again, if you guys get a chance, pick up Star Trek Volume 13, the trade paperback. Thank you for listening. Back to you, John.
This is Todd Cassell from Phoenix, Arizona with my next pick It is in the IDW section, page 168, and it is Jack Kirby's Fantastic Four Artist Edition hardcover. Jack Kirby, baby. Silver Age Marvel, Jack Kirby. Jack Kirby on the Fantastic Four late in his amazing run with Stan Lee. This is great Jack Kirby art. As you can tell, I am a victim of the 70s. That is my era. 60s also, but 70s and the 60s I got as back issues when I was young. And Jack Kirby was and still is an art god. And this is an artist edition. And yeah, there's plenty of artist editions of plenty of great artists that are out there. But come on, this is Jack Kirby. This is going to be beautiful. It's actually covering issues 82 and 83 of the Fantastic Four run. This was Jack Kirby at the height of his Marvel Silver Age. This is what created Marvel. If it wasn't for Jack Kirby's art with Stan Lee's stories on many comic books in the 60s, then Marvel may not have become the powerhouse that they would have become. I just love Jack Kirby. Have I said that enough? And I love the 70s. Have I said that enough? Solicit says, Jack Kirby's Fantastic Four, world-shattering events, cosmic calamities, and Kirby Crackle. Does it get any better? Jack Kirby is one of the most important creators in the history of comics, and the Fantastic Four is one of the greatest achievements. First published in 1961, The Adventures of Mr. Fantastic, Human Torch, Invisible Girl, and the Ever-Loving Thing introduced a bold new era in comics. Kirby's dynamic storytelling coupled with Stan Lee's poignant writing style were unlike anything comic book readers had seen before. It literally ushered in the Marvel Age of Comics. Good gosh, it's saying everything that I just babbled about in much better words. Now, with the cooperation of the Jack Kirby estate and under license from Marvel Comics, IDW is proud to present the first Jack Kirby Fantastic Four Artist Edition, including Fantastic Four Annual Number 6. Oh, I didn't catch that. An annual also. 48-page groundbreaking story that featured the birth of Franklin Richards. Also presenting issues 82 and 83, guest starring the Inhumans, plus more stories and a beautiful gallery section of some of Kirby's most incredible pages, all scanned from original art. This is 144 pages, black and white, of course, because this is the original art. I don't see a price on this. These are usually in the mid to lower hundreds. I love Jack Kirby, and I love artist editions such as this. Go out and get it.
Hey, it's Brawlinator again, and my pick from IDW this month is found on page 171. It's a cool 6-issue limited series called Comic Book History of Comics Number 1. Now, you may be saying, hey, didn't this 6-issue limited series already get released back in 2012? Well, yes and no. Back then, the 6-issue miniseries by Fred Van Lente and Ryan Dunleavy retold the history of comic books in comic books and was actually collected back in May of 2012. But now, this release will see the comics in spectacular four-color glory. The original run was in black and white, but now the inspiring, infuriating, and utterly insane story of comics, graphic novels, and manga is presented in spectacular four-color glory. The award-winning team of Fred Van Lente and Ryan Dunleavy turn their irreverent but accurate eyes to the stories of Jack Kirby, R. Crumb, Harvey Kurtzman, Alan Moore, Stan Lee, Will Eisner, Frederick Wortham, Roy Lichtenstein, Art Spiegelman, Herge, Osamu Tezuka, and many more. This is worth your time and treasure. Check it out in the IDW section. It's the Comic Book History of Comics in color, found on page 171.
There's really not much more for me to say about the Comic Book History of Comics than what Brawlinator already said, other than I too picked it. It's Comic Book Page Pick of the Month. So if you're shopping through DCBS, you'll get a 50% discount on this. It is well worth your time to go check this out. Great series, and getting it in color, I'm really looking forward to that.
Billy Hogan again. My 9th pick in the September previews comes from the IDW section on page 172 with Atomic Robo and the Temple of Ode, number 4 of 5. Writer by Brian Clevinger, artist Scott Wegener, regular cover artist Scott Wegener with a subcover by Holly Mingert. Look, if Trump just got elected, we're all doomed. Not even an atomic robot with his trusty team of scientists or Odic warriors can help us now. We are done for. So drown your sorrows in this, what will be one of the last pieces of cultural ephemera created by mankind in this, the Twilight Hours. 32 pages for $3.99. Atomic Robo first got my attention from some of the free Comic Book Day issues the creators published. It's a lot of fun. It's a great all-ages title with some science fiction elements to it. And I'm always looking forward to another issue of Atomic Robo. Back to you, John.
This is Todd Cassell from Phoenix, Arizona with my next pick. It's on page 194 of the image section, and it is AD After Death, Book 1. AD After Death, Book 1 of 3. What if we found a cure for death? Two of comics' most acclaimed creators, Scott Snyder and Jeff Lemire, unite to create a three-part epic like no other, set in a future where a genetic cure for death has been found. Years after the discovery, one man starts to question everything, leading him on a mind-bending journey that will bring him face-to-face with his past and his own mortality. A unique combination of comics, prose, and illustration, AD, After Death, will be serialized monthly as three oversized prestige format books, written by Snyder, fully painted by Lemire. Okay, I'm not living in my past this time. I'm living in the present, and one of the better writers in the present is Scott Snyder, one of the more unique artists, and I always use the word unique when it's something that could cater to different tastes, is Jeff Lemire. Jeff Lemire is a great writer. Sometimes he does the writing, someone else does the artwork, sometimes he does the artwork, someone else does the writing, sometimes he does both. In this case, he's doing the art behind Scott Snyder, who's infamous for his Batman run of the last several years, but he's also done some other great books like American Vampire and Witches, and another miniseries, I forget the title, the one where they were underwater and there were giant amphibian things, and it was pretty cool. Anyway, I highly recommend anything written by Scott Snyder. You know, sometimes he gets a little bit overboard with the writing, but most of the time he delivers, and I expect him to deliver it in what looks like a pretty cool concept and a pretty cool package of prestige format books. Go ahead and buy. Oh, sorry, didn't give you any more information. It's 72-page book at $5.99, and that's not too bad. Thanks. Bye.
Hey guys, this is Michael back with my third pick from the month of December. This one's going to release November 23rd. It is going to be really big, 72 pages, cover price $5.99. I do believe DCBS is going to have a 50% discount off on this first issue. It's the Gem of the Month from Image Comics, page 194. AD, After Death, Book 1 of 3. What if we found a cure for death? Two of comics' most acclaimed creators, Scott Snyder and Jeff Lemire, unite to create a three-part epic like no other. Set in the future where a genetic cure for death has been found, years after discovery, one man starts to question everything, leading him on a mind-bending journey that will bring him face-to-face with his past and his own mortality. A unique combination of comics, prose, and illustration. After Death will be serialized monthly as three oversized prestige format books written by Snyder and fully painted by Lemire. Really, really looks like a great series. I like Scott Snyder. I like Jeff Lemire. So I think it's a great combination. And the three oversized prestige format books, I think, is going to be pretty cool because I think they'll be able to cram a whole bunch of story and art into those pages. It's probably going to be over 200 pages for the three books combined. But like I said, DCBS is going to offer 50% off this first issue and probably 40% off the next couple. So even though the price point's at $5.99, you're going to get a whole bunch of story and art. Really looking forward to this. Definitely going to check it out. It's AD After Death, Book 1 by Scott Snyder and Jeff Lemire, page 194 from Image Comics. Check it out.
Brawlinator again, and my next pick this month is on page 200, and it's in the Image section. It's called Violent Love Number 1. Crime and romance are two genres that work exceptionally well together, and writer Frank J. Barbieri and artist Victor Santos will explore this dynamic, telling the story of two bank robbers who become lovers during their crime spree in the American Southwest. Barbieri and Santos did excellent work together in the past on Boom Studios' superhero-tinged Black Market miniseries, but Violent Love has them moving in a new genre with a new direction and a more grounded point of view. This solicit reads, Daisy Jane and Rock Bradley were two of the most notorious bank robbers in the American Southwest, and then they fell in love. Join Frank J. Barbieri, who wrote Five Ghosts and The Revisionist, and Victor Santos, who's been doing stunning artwork on The Mice Templar and Polar, for a pulp-infused criminal romance oozing with style and action. The artwork looks great on this. This is a double-sized debut issue. It's being promoted as an ongoing, so check out the artwork and the solicit for yourself. It's Violent Love Number 1 on page 200 of the September Previews catalog.
Hey guys, it's Drew with a pick from Image on page 202. It's Chew Number 60. It is the final issue of Chew, and it's a double-sized issue with a trifold cover. It is a $5.99 book, 48 pages. It comes out on November 23rd. Of course, this is written by John Layman and Rob Guillory, and has been a wonderful series for a lot of years. Not a lot of comics go 60 issues, at least in a row, and it really is one of those stories that I think is going to be great on the shelf next to a Why the Last Man or an Ex Machina, Scalped, 100 Bullets, those sort of books. It fits in there really nicely, and I'm gonna miss it. It's a great comic, and hats off to John Layman and Rob Guillory for being able to tell their story the way they wanted to and finish on their terms. Really nice that they fit well at Image. This is a cool story, I think. You know, if you haven't read it, probably don't want to hop on the last issue. But you can check out that first trade, and of course there's an Image first for a buck out there. I know. So you can check out that first issue. Super cheap. If you want to just see how it ends, you know, for throw $6 and pick up that final 48-page book and see how it all ends, you can do that too. But you want to check this out? The final issue of Chew, number 60, on page 202 in
Billy Hogan again. My 10th pick in the September previews comes from the Image Comics section on page 204 with Invincible number 133. New story arc, The End of All Things, Part 1. Ryan Utley returns as The End of All Things begins. This 12-part story will touch every corner of the Invincible universe, and when it's over, it's over. Every single story for the past 13 years has been leading up to this. Story, Robert Kirkman. Art, Ryan Utley and Jean-Francois Bulot. Cover, Ryan Utley and Dave McCaig. Pardon me if I mispronounce that name. This issue is scheduled to be released November 16th, 24 pages for $2.99. In my recording for last month's previews, when I picked Invincible 132, when I saw the solicit the mention of the End of All Things storyline, I just jokingly said that it sounds like it's kind of the end of the series. But I didn't seriously think that would be the case. But a couple of weeks ago, Robert Kirkman announced that he was indeed ending the Invincible series with this storyline, which maybe it'll be a 12-part story. Sure, I'm going to enjoy the ride. It's going to take these characters, I'm sure, through many ups and downs. And with the way Robert Kirkman is willing to do anything with his characters, there's no telling how he's going to end this series, which is one of the reasons I return for every issue. And it's going to be sad when I read the final issue. I'll just have to contend myself with getting the trade paperbacks of the issues that I'm missing in my collection. Back to you, John.
Comics for Fun and Profit. Kyle and Drew back at it once again on page 205, looking at Image now. And Drew, you and I are looking at Nailbiter 26. Of course, Nailbiter Joshua Williamson with art by Mike Henderson. Nailbiter, of course, the large saga of the town of Buckaroo and why Buckaroo produces so many of the world's serial killers. And we are 26 issues in. We are starting a new story arc. This one looks darn good. It starts to snow in Buckaroo, and with it comes the bloody truth of the Nailbiter. Are you ready to witness the horrible acts that got him that name?
I am. I'm so ready. this book has just. I thought I was going to get bored with it, but you know, 26 issues in, and still really, really enjoying it. You can also grab that Image first of the very first issue if you're not if you've not checked this out, and it'll cost you a buck to check it out. And of course, all the trades are also being offered this month. It's really been a good read, a really good mystery with some twisted stuff. Definitely worth checking out, and still only $2.99.
Yeah, great characters, and you and I, neither of us like horror, and neither of us are really that into gore. But this strikes the perfect balance with us, and we've been on this book for years, and we're still liking it and excited for this new arc.
I like horror and gore, actually.
Oh, you do? Yeah. Never mind. I'm not big into horror and gore, and you, of course, soak all that up.
Yeah.
So, Comics for Fun and Profit, really excited for the beginning of the new story arc, Nailbiter, number 26, page 205 from Image Comics.
Hey guys, this is Michael back with another pick. It's going to be coming from Image Comics, page 206. It is Southern Blank, number 15. I can't say the second word in the title, but if you guys go to page 206, you guys will see the title. It's a new story arc, Gut Check Part 1. This is the 15th issue, start of the third arc in this series from Jason Aaron and Jason Latour. The solicit reads as follows. Coach Boss holds sway over Craw County for one reason. He wins football games. But after biggest, ugliest loss of his career, the coach must become more of a criminal than ever before if he's going to keep ahead of his enemies. Enemies like Roberta Tubb, who's come to town with a machine gun and some serious questions about how her daddy died. This series won the Harvey Award for Best New Series in 2015. It also won the 2016 Eisner Award for Best Continuing Series. It is a Southern Fried Crime Comic by Jason Aaron and Jason Latour. It's in the back for another round of football, barbecue, and bloodshed. This is one of my top of the stack reads every single month. I love, love, love the story. It's been too long since it's been coming out, but it is also been optioned for TV. The first three story arcs are available to purchase through the trade paperbacks to get you caught up on the story. You definitely cannot read this out of order, not a title that you can jump in on with this issue, but I would highly encourage you guys to go out and check out those titles and check it out. I'm really excited for it to be back in November. It is Southern Blank number 15 from Jason Aaron, Jason Latour. It is going to be $3.50 and goes on sale November 2nd. Looking forward to it. Thanks.
And just for clarification, I was the one who asked Michael not to use the second word of that title for fear it might run afoul of the profanity and explicit language rules and stuff of iTunes. I didn't want to risk having the comic book page podcast kind of bounced out of iTunes under, you know, really something that's just kind of silly. You guys can easily go look at page 206, find the full title of the book, and you know, so kind of a no harm, no foul there. And if you guys don't think it's profanity, hell, if I don't think it's profanity, if you guys don't think it's profanity, heck, if I don't think it's profanity, it really doesn't matter. It's just somebody could have gotten offended by it, complained to iTunes, and that could have resulted in the podcast getting bounced out of iTunes, which is the main distributor of podcasts, really, is what it comes down to. I just didn't want to take the chance, so I err it on the side of caution. We did have a little bit of a discussion about this in the comic book page forum thread for this episode. Again, whether you particularly consider certain words profanity or not, it doesn't matter. Profanity is kind of in the ear of the beholder, if you will. I just didn't want to take chances, so I erred on the side of caution. I hope nobody's upset. I hope everybody understands. And again, I want to thank Michael for cooperating with that. I appreciate that.
This is Dr. Moe with my next pick, The Wicked and the Divine, number 23 from Image Comics. After a brief break and a one-shot, Wick Div is releasing a new single, Imperial Phase 1, Part 1. Writer Kieran Gillen and artist Jamie McKelvey bring you more reincarnated deities and political drama. In this issue, Gillen and McKelvey are joined by artist Kevin Wada. Following the last arc's tempo that moved at a very quick pace and contained a lot of fight sequences, it will be interesting to see if Gillen and McKelvey continue that pace or switch things up. I suspect the latter. After four arcs, I've decided just to strap in and enjoy the ride. The Wicked and the Divine, number 23, can be found in the Image section of Previews on page 207. This single can be yours for $3.50.
Aloha! This is Jason from Hawaii. My pick for this month's preview spotlight comes from the Image section on page 237. It's Paper Girls Volume 2 Trade Paperback, written by Brian K. Vaughan, art by Cliff Chiang and Matt Wilson. This collects Paper Girls issues 6 to 10. Now, this second story arc, to me, really emotionally pulls you into the story. You know, I know issues 1 to 5 was basically a setup. That, to me, was a setup. But like I said, issues 6 to 10 really emotionally pulls you into the story. So if you guys get a chance, you know, and if you guys haven't picked up, you know, the single issues, the monthly issues, you guys should check out Paper Girls Volume 2 Trade Paperback. Thank you for listening. Back to you, John.
Every so often a storyline comes up in a superhero universe of, you know, if all these heroes are fighting gods, alien invasions, and big things like that, who's looking out for the little guy? You know, us, the regular people. Well, that storyline's kind of coming up again. This will be probably a unique take on it, I hope. It's Occupy Avengers. It's on page 18 of the Marvel previews. We've got David Walker on the writing. We got Carlos Pacheco on the art. And I'm looking forward to this. It's featuring Hawkeye as the guy who's standing up for, you know, the regular Joes. Because, again, he's pretty much just a regular guy. He's a really good archer. But he's not a god. He's not a tech billionaire or a mutant or an inhuman or any of these other people who have just crazy powers. See, he's trying to make sure that the rest of us regular folk are just kind of taken care of and, you know, get the justice we deserve and not just have to live in the rubble of the latest fight scene. I'm curious how this goes, what direction they take on it, and it may, for all intents and purposes, be kind of the next ongoing Hawkeye title. So, I think it'll be worth checking out. It's a comic page pick of the month that gives it a 50% discount through DCBS. Once again, it's Occupy Avengers number 1 on page 18 of the Marvel previews.
Hey guys, this is Michael with my last pick of the month. That's going to be coming from Marvel Comics, page 32 in the Marvel previews section. This is going to be part of the Marvel Now initiative, which I'm glad they're not renumbering again. So they're keeping the numbers from the series they've just started. This is going to be The Punisher number 7. I was super, super excited when they brought back The Punisher after Secret Wars looked like it was going to be ending for good. So I was super excited when they brought it back. The writing is Becky Cloonan and Steve Dillon on the art. It's been a fun ride so far. Obviously, this is going to be parental advisory, so no kids on this one. It's going to be 32 pages, $3.99. Into the Wild starts now. You can't keep Frank Castle buried for long. The Punisher's mission to bring down a superpowered drug ring reaches new heights. As his quest sends us deep into the woods in the northeast, it's time for the Punisher to go off-road. But as he gets deeper into the wilderness, has the Predator finally become the prey? This has been a really fun series so far. Obviously, Frank Castle, street-level hero. You're not going to find too many of the other superheroes teaming up in this series. It kind of exists alone inside its own universe right now, which is what I really kind of prefer, because this and Moon Knight are my two favorite Marvel series going right now, because they're kind of just not affected by what's going on in the other titles, especially with Civil War II going on. So I've really enjoyed this story arc so far. You started a new one, obviously, with the 7th issue, and be a great time for you guys to jump on if you want to check it out. I know the Netflix series has got some people interested in The Punisher because of the TV series being highly acclaimed, so it might be a good time to check it out now, especially if you haven't read any Punisher before. And it's going to be coming your way in November, and it's going to be $3.99 price point for 32 pages. Yeah, I wish the price was lower too, but that is what it is. So check it out.
Kyle and Drew back at it once again. Comics for Fun and Profit, we are here in your Marvels preview, looking at page 34 and 35, and we are looking at Fool Killer number one. Now, Drew, this piqued your interest because written by Max Bemis. Tell us why that intrigued you so.
Max Bemis is a new writer to me. He's written maybe half a dozen things, and most recently he did a two-issue arc on Cross that I really loved. I really loved his writing style. He also did the worst X-Men ever.
Oh, yeah.
Six issue. There was like two volumes of that, so there's a couple versions of that out there. And that was good, too. I liked that. So I'm interested to see what he does with this. What I am assuming is a new character. I'm not that familiar with Fool Killer, and I'm also not familiar with the artist, Dalibor Tolagic. But it's the solicit says Greg Salinger was just your typical merc for hire, Fool Killer, killing those that he deemed to be foolish and for money, but that life is behind him now. Today he's a psychiatrist trying to help others, but now S.H.I.E.L.D. wants him to try to rehabilitate supervillains. The catch? If these patients don't make enough progress, they are dead. So it's $3.99 book. It's not the $2.99 that we're getting used to at some of the other publishers, but I'm going to give it a try because old Max Bemis is on it, and I like the last couple of things he did. I've never heard of this.
And I know Fool Killer from, I dabbled a little bit in Deadpool and his Mercs for Money clan that he had dress up as him, pose as Deadpools to kind of, you know, make himself more available for money and stuff. One of those was Fool Killer. So,
okay.
I got a little bit of taste of him in the past few months. So it's interesting to see him get his own book and move on from that. So I'm also interested for that reason.
Yeah. Okay. I remember that issue. And, now that you mention it, that does ring a bell. Okay. Very cool. Now I know who he is.
So Comics for Fun and Profit is looking for Fool Killer number one, written by Max Bemis, art by Dalibor Tolagic. That's coming out here soon for $3.99 from Marvel Comics.
Coming out here soon.
Yeah, because I forgot Marvel sucks at putting dates on things.
Pretty soon.
Also, you were
probably 3 months from now. And don't forget to check us out at comicsfunprofit.com.
Aloha, this is Jason from Hawaii. My pick for this month's preview spotlight comes from the Marvel section on page 47. It's Civil War II, number 8, written by Brian Michael Bendis, art by David Marquez. Now, originally, Civil War II was supposed to be a 7-part miniseries. They added on this 8th issue because my understanding is I think Brian Michael Bendis had a bigger story to tell or had more story to tell. So that's why there is an issue number 8. The solicit reads, classified. That's it. Simple, to the point. So if you guys get a chance, pick up Civil War II number 8.
Don't pick up Civil War II number 8.
Who are you?
I'm your conscience.
Ant-Man?
No, it's me. Listen, I choose to support the smaller publishers. I'm not going to buy Civil War II number 8. Instead of buying this issue, I'm going to use our money to support the small independent titles.
Why?
Why? Marvel keeps pushing aside the little guys by putting these big events out with a finite number of issues, but tack on an additional issue at the last minute by saying there's more story or more action than originally intended. But in reality, it's a cash grab, taking money from the little guys, the smaller publishers. Remember Fear Itself, the 7-part series? They added 7.1, 7.2, or last year's Secret Wars. That was an 8-issue miniseries, but turned it into 9.
You got a point.
We need to stand as brothers against these shenanigans. Are you with me, brother?
No, I'm going to pick up issue number 8 to complete this story.
Now you're a completist. Fine. You just started a war, pal.
What? Hello? That was weird. So if you guys get a chance, pick up Civil War II, number 8. That is, if you're not having a war with your conscience. Thank you for listening. Back to you, John.
Aloha. This is Jason from Hawaii. My pick for this month's preview spotlight comes from the Marvel section on page 61. It's Guardians of the Galaxy number 14, written by Brian Michael Bendis, art by Kevin Maguire. That's it. That's all Marvel had to tell me was art by Kevin Maguire. That's why I'm picking up this Guardians of the Galaxy number 14 issue, and it's just only for Kevin Maguire's art. His art is incredible. I still remember seeing his artwork when he did when he worked on the Justice League back in the late 80s. And it seems like, you know, he's been picking up some work at Marvel. I know he did a Howard the Duck issue a few months back. So if you guys get a chance, pick up Guardians of the Galaxy number 14, and it's just only for Kevin Maguire's art. Again, thank you for listening. Back to you, John.
Brawlinator here, and I'm in the Marvel Previews catalog. Flip past all those new number one issues and the ongoing issues that still have a number one on the cover, and let's get into the trade section where the value is really found. I'm on page 106, and I'm looking at the Guardians of the Galaxy by Jim Valentino Omnibus. If you want to know the origins of the Guardians of the Galaxy team, be it the movie or the comic, you don't need to look to the past, but look to the future. Although the current team that bears that name, including the MCU film, operates in modern times, when they first appeared in comics, they hailed from the 31st century as a team of refugees from an Earth ransacked and pillaged by aliens. Way back in 1990, creator Jim Valentino launched that team's first series, showing their adventures with the Marvel Universe in the 31st century, with new heroes, old names, and some strange, twisted versions of the Marvel Age 1,000 years after their origin. Join Vance Astro, Yondu, Starhawk, Nikki, Charlie 27, Martin X, and Alita as they undertake a quest to find the long-lost shield of Captain America, a mission that pits them against Iron Man's twisted legacy. They'll land on the world of mutants and wind up in the middle of a violent rebellion against Wolverine's descendant Rancor. Learn the secret origin of the once and future Guardians and catch up with Fire Lord, Silver Surfer, Galactus, Ghost Rider, and the 31st century's Punisher in the ultimate exploration of the future of the Marvel Universe. Helmed by visionary talent Jim Valentino, this 984-page omnibus collects Guardians of the Galaxy, the 1990 series, issues 1 through 29, along with annual 1 and 2. And incidentally, Valentino left after issue 27, but issues 28 and 29 were worked from his plot lines. The remaining issues of the 90s Guardian series aren't really worth your time, that's my opinion. This omnibus also collects the first appearances of this team in Marvel Superhero Rose number 18 from 1967, along with material from Fantastic Four Annual 24, Thor Annual 16, and Silver Surfer Annual number 4. If you were a 90s comic fan or a Jim Valentino fan, or a fan of that style that Ron Lim made popular, this is going to be a great read. Check it out for yourself. It's on page 106 of the Marvel Previews catalog. It's The Guardians of the Galaxy by Jim Valentino Omnibus.
Billy Hogan again. My 11th and final pick from the September previews comes on page 256 from Abstract Studios with Motor Girl number 1. Writer, story, and cover artist Terry Moore. First issue. When Samantha's junkyard is visited by a UFO looking for spare parts, she is only too happy to oblige. But when word gets out that she is a reliable source, Sam's booming alien business catches the attention of an Area 51 investigator determined to shut her down. Don't miss the premiere issue of Terry Moore's fantastic new series. 24 pages for $3.99. I began reading Terry Moore late in his run on Strangers in Paradise with about issue 74, and that series lasted until issue 90, I believe. It was a slice of life series about two women and one young man and the ups and downs of their relationships. Next, he did Echo, which was a hard science fiction series, followed by Rachel Rising, which just ended. a few weeks or about a month or so ago, which was a horror title. So this one sounds like he's returned to kind of a science fiction style story, but it seems to have a lighthearted charm to it. After the end of Rachel Rising, I believe I read online that Terry Moore was going to go with some shorter length series in the future, and I don't know how long this series is going to last, but however long or short this series manages to be, I'll be on board for just about anything Terry Moore creates. I have yet to read a bad comic book story by him, so if you like independent comic books, I recommend highly that you pick up Motor Girl number 1. Back to you, John.
There's really not much else for me to say about Motor Girl number 1. Terry Moore's got a proven track record. His last title, which was again more in kind of the horror suspense genre than I like, I got off of after a while. But I'm definitely going to pick up Motor Girl. It is a comic book page pick of the month. We've got a 50% discount through DCBS, so check it out. Next up on page 259 is Athena Volterra and the Volcano Goddess number 1 from Action Labs. This is by writer-artist Steve Bryant, who is an Eisner Manning Award-nominated creator. He's also a friend of the show, known Steve for many, many years. Great guy. Love to support his work. This is his kind of action-adventure pulp heroine creation with a new storyline coming out. First new one in a little while. Looking forward to it. Should be a lot of fun. You want to see some of the art and stuff. They've got the two covers and whatnot there. One by Mike Allred, but also the main cover by Steve Bryant. They're on page 259. It is a $3.99 comic. It is a comic book page pick of the month, so it's got a 50% discount through DCBS. So check it out. There is also the 224-page hardcover compendium offered on that same page right below it for $19.99. Well worth picking it up if you're into kind of the classic pulp adventure style of comics. Athena Volterra is described as a courageous, globe-trotting aviatrix who takes on Nazis, zombies, and the unspeakable occult creatures in that hardcover. So again, I think it's a lot of fun, worth checking out. Once again, it's Athena Volterra and the Volcano Goddess number 1 on page 259. Check it out.
Hey guys, it's Drew with a pick from Black Mask. It is No Angel number 1 on page 294 in the back half previews. It's a $3.99 book, 32 pages. And No Angel number 1 is written by Eric and Adrian Palicki. Adrian Palicki is, of course, from Friday Night Lights and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And so she's writing this comic with, I assume, her husband. And I'm going to check it out. I like a lot of stuff Black Mask does. So this seems to focus on religious texts from the Bible. Do Superman tablets speak of strange creatures descending from the heavens and mating with humans? Their children, the superhuman heroes of myth. None of this ever meant anything to Iraq War veteran Hannah Gregory until she found herself in the crosshairs of a dangerous cult convinced that she's a descendant of these mysterious bloodlines. Bloodlines that they're determined to eradicate. No Angel is a cosmological and conspiratorial modern Western in the style of Preacher meets Justified by way of Jodorowsky. It is mature theme, so buyer beware. I'm going to check it out. I'm very curious. A little celebrity tag always gets my interest in see how they translate one thing in the medium that they're doing to another and to see just how well that does. So check out No Angel number 1 on page 294 from Black Mask Studios.
Brawlinator here, and now I'm in the Boom Studios section of previews on page 296. It's a one-shot called WWE Then, Now, Forever. The solicit reads, building off the buzz from the partnership announcement prior to San Diego Comic-Con 2016, WWE Then, Now, Forever number 1 delivers authentic sports entertainment featuring WWE superstars to comic readers. This oversized issue contains the WWE San Diego Comic-Con 2016 one-page comics, along with a wealth of new content celebrating the versatility and diversity of WWE throughout its various eras. It includes the 20-page story, The Breaking of the Shield, where Seth Rollins chose to betray his brothers Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns at the behest of Triple H and the Authority. Now, I'm not a huge wrestling fan, but I know there's a lot of crossover with comic books and wrestling fandom, and I don't think I've ever quite understood it. For wrestling fans, Seth Rollins' betrayal of his brothers in the Shield is apparently still a very sore and open wound 2 years on, and Boom Studios intends to pour salt in that wound with their first official release under the WWE license. Arriving in November, WWE, then Now Forever Number 1, was created by Dennis Hopeless, Dan Mora, and Daniel Bayless, and they've created a new comic which promises to dig into the meeting between Triple H and the man that led to that fateful betrayal. The book also reprints Boom's WWE mini-comics, which were previously released at San Diego Comic-Con. Instead of putting wrestlers into other worlds like superheroes, these comics will be based on the actual world of wrestling. There will be in-ring action as well as backstage stuff. Now, this comic is a one-shot, which is reported to lead into an ongoing series, hence the number one on the cover. The title and release date of that ongoing series, which will also be written by Hopeless, has yet to be announced. Check out WWE Then Now Forever Number 1 from Boom Studios on page 296. Brawlinator again, and my final pick this month is from Dynamite Entertainment on page 343. It's the Sherlock Holmes Omnibus Volume 1 trade paperback. This 400-page tome presents three captivating mysteries of Sir Arthur Conan Doyle's beloved sleuth, Sherlock Holmes, in the first ever omnibus collecting his comic book adventures. From young Holmes' first encounter with Dr. John Watson to the detective's role reversal as a suspect for murder to a rash of Liverpool killings seemingly committed by a supernatural entity. The finest whodunits in the Dynamite Entertainment library begins with this very volume. This collects the complete Trial of Sherlock Holmes, the Year One series, and Liverpool Demon storylines. I've seen reviews for the Trial of Sherlock Holmes which say it's a clever and urgent story with very clear writing and a great pace to keep you interested in the characters and storylines. Now, I'm not familiar with much of Dynamite's Sherlock Holmes output, but the art looks great and this may be affordable enough to try out. Check it out for yourself. It's on page 400 of this month's previews, Sherlock Holmes Omnibus Volume 1. Thank you, John, for giving us all an opportunity to participate in this monthly show. It's always a lot of fun. Now I suppose I need to go update my DCBS order. I'll see you guys in the forums. Thanks.
Hi, guys. It's Drew with a pick from Gemstone Publishing. And it is The Overstreet Guide to Collecting Video Games. It's on page 362. It's a 160-page softcover for $15, minus discounts wherever you shop. So shop around. This Overstreet Guide to Collecting Video Games shines a spotlight on this booming hobby. Packed with insight, it showcases the many different ways of collecting, including collecting by developer, by console, and by character. It unlocks the history of video games and even suggests how to incorporate games into other collections. It's the latest entry in the how-to line from the publishers of the Overstreet Comic Book Price Guide, which, you know, I'm a big fan of. And so, I don't collect video games myself, but there's a few people I know who do, and I think this would be a good gift for them. And it'd probably be a nice little companion piece for their collection and maybe to help them make better decisions in the future or just to kind of get a sense of what they have in their collection. And I think it'd be fun, a fun gift. So please check out on page 362 and 363, The Overstreet Guide to Collecting Video Games.
Next up from Titan Comics on page 422 is Masked Number 1. This seems to be a story of a soldier having returned home from war with PTSD, only get thrown back into action, but this time against the new phenomenon of anomalies, which are basically people with superpowers. And apparently superpowers are new to this world, and Frank Bradford, the hero of this story, is fighting to save his city from these creatures, or these people. It seems like a little bit of a potentially kind of dystopic take on superheroes. I am curious about this. I like seeing different takes on the superhero genre, even if some of them tend to be a little dark. This taking a bit more of a sci-fi action adventure approach to superheroes and superpowers or superpowers. I don't really see any indication of superheroes in this. Should be a lot of fun. Looking forward to it. Titan's been doing a lot of great stuff. This is something that we've got a 45% discount on through DCBS. So once again, that's Masked number 1 on page 422 from Titan Comics. Check it out.
This is Dr. Mo with my final pick for this month, Harbinger Renegades number 1 from Valiant. Valiant's psionically powered A-Team returns after a tragic loss that caused the team to disband in the previous volume. Anyone you know could become a psionically powered Harbinger with the potential to reshape the course of human history. Your neighbor, your boss, your best friend, your kids. 6 months ago, a secret team of renegade whistleblowers leaked the existence of these extraordinarily dangerous individuals to a stunned world. Today, all across the country, crude do-it-yourself psyot activation attempts have left hundreds brain damaged or worse. Emergence of a new psyot in a community often leads to riots and mass violence. Gun sales are through the roof. America is terrified of what could happen next. The creative team on Harbinger Renegades is writer Raffer Roberts, the current writer of A&A, The Adventures of Archer and Armstrong for Valiant. The artwork is being handled by industry veteran Derek Robertson. Robertson co-created The Boys with Garth Ennis and had a run on Marvel's New Warriors back in the 90s. I was a fan of the original series from the 1990s that was created by Jim Shooter and David Lapham. I thought Joshua Dysart did a lot of great character development when he relaunched the series back in 2012. Hopefully, Raffer Roberts and Derek Robertson will continue to build upon Dysart's character work and take this team in a bold new direction. Harbinger Renegades number 1 is $3.99 and can be found on page 438 in the Valiant section of previews.
There's really not much else for me to say about Harbinger Renegades other than it took them a little while to get back to this group of characters. Valiant's been kind of rotating around all their different properties, which I think is a smarter move than just flooding the market, so I appreciate them doing that, but again, it's been a little while since these characters have been out. Looking forward to this, should be a lot of fun. This is a comic book page pick of the month, so we got a 50% discount through DCBS. So once again, Harbinger Renegades number 1 from Valiant on page 438. Check it out.
This is Todd Cassell from Phoenix, Arizona, with my last pick of the month, and we're going back to the 70s. Am I stuck in a rut, or am I stuck in one of the greatest times for reading comics when you were a kid, if any of you were lucky enough to be a kid in the 70s? Anyway, this is on page 529 in the toy section, and it's Red Sonja Funko Pop, the bloody version. It doesn't matter whether it's a bloody version or not. I have a crush on Red Sonja. I loved Red Sonja. Red Sonja was hot. Chainmail, bikini, sword, just as cool as Conan, except redhead. Anyway, Red Sonja in a pop form. Now, this is special. I never would have expected something like that. In fact, it's so special that they don't even have a photo of this pop. Obviously, they are still doing the carving and the pressing and the whatevering, and it's a drawing, but you pretty much can tell what the pop's going to look like from the drawing. And if you think Funko Pops are cute, then you probably have your favorites that you get. I have a handful that I've gotten, the Planet of the Apes series, because I've always grown up with Planet of the Apes. But Red Sonja, Red Sonja, this baby's going to be mine. And that's it for the month. Thanks a lot, everyone. I just want to say again, if anyone is in the Phoenix area, great comic book shop is all about books and comics. It's on Camelback Road, just
west of Central Avenue, just about a block west of Central Avenue. It is a fantastic shop. I've been going there ever since I moved to Arizona in 2002. The owners, Rob and Marsha, are terrific. The workers are terrific. Tell Rob, Marsha, Eddie that Todd sent you, and they will treat you like a king or a queen. But then again, they treat everyone like a king or a queen. Have a good month, everyone.
Aloha, guys. This is Jason from Hawaii. Last month's Preview Spotlight episode 106 was another great episode. I just want to welcome Bill Z to the Preview Spotlight episode. Bill, welcome to the podcast. You know, I look forward to hearing more clips from you in the future. And Jerry, welcome back to the Preview Spotlight episode. And also, too, you know, thank you for your recommendation on the Chimera Brigade. You know, I got that on my pull list through DCBS. And the guys from Comics for Fun and Profit. Now, if you guys are not subscribing to this podcast, it's a great podcast. You know, you guys should subscribe to Drew and Kyle's podcast, Comics for Fun and Profit. Again, Kyle and Drew, thank you very much for your recommendation on the Green Valley. I got that on my pull list through DCBS. So again, everyone, thank you very much for listening. Until next month, aloha. Aloha, guys. This is Jason from Hawaii. If you guys are planning a trip to Canada and one of your stops includes Calgary, Alberta, you guys got to check out this comic book store. It's called Another Dimension Comics. The address is 424 B as in boy, 10th Street, N as in North, W as in West. Now, on their business card, they said that they're located at the Sunnyside LR T as in Tom station. And I'm going to give a couple landmarks. There's a Safeway store on the same block as a comic book store. And there's a Shell gas station right across the street from them. Their web address is www.another-dimension.com. Now, this store has been open since 1980. And also, this store is nominated this year for the Joe Schuster Canadian Comic Book Creator Awards, or simply put, the Joe Schuster Awards. Now, of course, Joe Schuster is the co-creator of Superman, and he was born in Canada. Now, the Joe Schuster Awards are given out every year for outstanding achievements in Canadian comics, graphic novels, web comics, publishers, and comic retailers. Now, one of the categories in the Joe Schuster Awards is the Harry Kremer Award. Now, Another Dimension Comics is nominated in this category. Now, the late Harry Kremer, and along with Bill Johnson, they opened up a store called Now and Then back in the early 70s. It was like it was a comic book store that they opened up in Ontario, Canada. And it's to be one of the earliest comic shops to open in North America. Also, too, that Now and Then employed a famous comic book creator, Dave Sim, the creator of Cerebus. So, you know, I wish Another Dimension Comics the best. I hope that they win this award. The reason, you know, is, you know, I visit the store. It's a nice size store. It's very clean. It's very well organized. There's a lot of action figures. And to me, are reasonably priced. There is like a nice selection of back issue bins, and their sideshow statues were nicely displayed. And also, I want to give a shout out to one of their store clerks. His name is Andrew. He was very polite and kind in answering my questions. You know, and he told me that, you know, their big selling comics are, you know, Batman, Spider-Man, and The Walking Dead. So if you guys get a chance, if you guys are in Calgary, Alberta, you know, stop on by Another Dimension Comics. Thank you for listening. Back to you, John.
So as I record this, I've done my initial pass through the DCBS order form. I've then factored in the bundles they've got for, you know, get all these, you get a special discount. And then kind of where things are currently standing after having edited the podcast episode here. And I had started at about $532, actually $530 exactly, including bags, boards, shipping, and all that kind of stuff. But then once I factored in the bundles, of which there were just a ton of them once again at DCBS, and since I'm pretty much all in at Marvel and DC, you know, the various, you know, four or five rebirth bundles and miniseries bundles and stuff, I basically got to do the legwork to figure out, okay, which title is in which one and make sure I don't order duplicates. And I'm getting better at that, although I still make mistakes at times. But that saved me like $41.30. So pretty significant amount. It's well worth the time and the trouble. Of course, the dangerous thing with these bundles for me is every once in a while they'll include, you know, like 9 titles I get and one that I wasn't sure I was gonna get, and it usually kicks me over the fence to get that additional title. But I've gotten on and stayed on a couple of titles that I've really enjoyed as a result of that, so I think it's all a win-win. But then once I went through and edited this podcast episode together, a couple items got added to my list. Ian's mention of Shadow Glass, somehow that had kind of slipped under my radar. And then I marked the Kirby Fantastic Four Artist Edition as a maybe and went ahead and tossed that on the list. Because, well, I was low for how my order usually is. Surely I've got room. So by the time I was done with this, I had increased my order by about $105.74. Which is coincidentally the exact after-discount cost of those two items. And so I'm closing in on that $600 range with $596.44. And at which point it's like, well, that's higher than I like. So I go through kind of, I don't want to say a budgeting exercise, let's not be crazy here, but I try to figure out, are there some things that it's just I'm buying something that's just too expensive? And when I filtered what I have on my order form to high ticket items, and I'm using the term incredibly loosely and fairly inaccurately. For me, it was basically, because most of what I get is just regular comics. So anything over $5, it's like, okay, let's take a closer look at that. I had two items pop, the ones I had just added to the order while doing this episode, that Shadow Glass trade and that Kirby Artist Edition. And it's like, okay, those are probably going to stay, although that Kirby Edition, really, that's what's kicking me into this a little bit more than I'd like to spend range. It's like, okay, well, let's throttle that back a little. How many over, you know, $3 items do I have? I had three of those. The New Talent Showcase from DC, IVX from Marvel, and Miraculous from Action Labs. It's like, well, I'm not really going to save anything if I cut those. And just for curiosity, how many things did I have that were over a $2.79 amount? Because that's what a $3.99 comic through DCBS runs me. And I had another 7 items pop, 3 of which were annuals from DC. One was Civil War 2, number 8. One was Deadpool Too Soon, number 2. One was the Catwoman Election Night special. And then the other was the Suicide Squad special. So it's not like I've got any one or two items that are just big ticket. Geez, I'm spending too much. Well, again, other than that Artist Edition hardcover. But, you know, hey, that's kind of how it goes. Because really, on average, I'm spending about $2.27 per item. That's not factoring in the more expensive items. Actually, it's $2.76. So really, even with that Artist Edition, on average, I'm spending slightly less than I would spend for this many DCBS priced $3.99 comics, i.e. the 40% discount, yada yada. I'm doing a horrible job explaining this, aren't I? I got 7 items from Dark Horse, 70 from DC, 12 from IDW, 10 from Image, and I know Drew is just cringing at that, thinking I should be reading more Image. 79 from Marvel and 38 from the back half of Previews. What I have not done at this point is a really deep dive through the Previews catalog itself. So as I take a closer look at a few of these things, a couple items may get added, a couple may get cut. It may flip around a little bit before I send in the order. But by and large, there was some good stuff this time around. But a lot of it is just there are a lot of comics coming out. There's no, again, huge big ticket items that are skewing my ordering or anything. Again, other than when, say, an Artist Edition comes out. The DCBS order due date is September 28th. And if you shop at a local store, ask them when they need their information for their orders by. Usually it'll be shortly after this episode goes up. But, you know, we got to give people time to send in the clips. So pre-ordering, while it's a little bit of a pain to do, it's the way the industry works. And getting the information to the stores allows them to order more based on what you actually want and stuff. And that's good for everybody. be nice if the cycle time was a little bit closer to when the items were coming out, but we got what we got. The next previews is also going to be released on September 28th. And what that means is the submission deadline for the next preview spotlight is going to be October 8th. And we're shifting, we're going to try out a change for when we do the comic book page teleconference. We're shifting that to the week after the preview spotlight. So it will be, again, Saturday, October 8th, the morning of is when I start, you know, editing the podcast, depending what time I wake up. If you need a little more time, just let me know. As long as I know what's coming, it usually takes me quite a few hours to edit this together. But again, October 8th is the deadline for the preview spotlight clips. The following Saturday, October 15th, 7 p.m. Central, I get on Skype with whoever's on there, and we just talk about comics. Maybe we go through previews. Maybe we talk about what was in the preview spotlight. Maybe we talk about, you know, other things, comics, games, movies, you know, whatever. If you've got questions for me, these are a great time to ask. I got into a really good conversation with Randy, who'd been, you know, he was really deep into the comics and stuff in the 70s. He was wondering how to kind of catch up with the major changes of DC for the more modern stuff. Had a great conversation again with him on that. So, you know, I'm happy to answer whatever questions you've got or just talk comics. I love talking comics, which is why we do the teleconference. I want to thank Brawlinator and Jason for posting links to the various submissions. That's one less thing I've got to do, and I really appreciate you guys doing that and sending in the great clips. I loved Jason's clip this time around on Civil War 2, and it's funny, I fall into kind of the same boat. I'll grumble about these events being a little expensive and going for, you know, a couple of more issues than they were originally planned, but, you know, I'm going to buy them anyways, too. So it was a funny clip, quite enjoyable. I want to thank everybody who sent in clips. So Billy, Brawlinator, the guys from Comics for Fun and Profit, Drew, Ian, Jason, Michael, Mo, and Todd. This episode just does not happen without clips that you guys send in. Otherwise, it's really short. It's me talking for a few minutes about what I'm buying, and that's about it. Really, the reason I do these episodes is to share my love of comics and to hear about your love of comics and to find out about things I might have missed when going through previews. We've got an open submission policy, so if you know of somebody who should be sending in clips, please encourage them to do that. Send in clips as often as you can, even if it's not every month. This is a great way to share your love of the comics, like I said, and support the comics and creators you love. It's easy to do. There are apps on Apple and Android phones, so you can just record it there and send it in. You don't even need to be sitting at your computer and stuff. If you have any questions, post on the forum. I'm happy to help you guys out and terms of how to record a clip. This month around, we did the comic book page teleconference before this episode goes up. So again, the next teleconference we'll have will be October 15th. The deadline for the submissions for the next spotlight, our preview spotlight, will be on October 8th. So with that, we'll call it an episode.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.